What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. This is FightfulSelect.com. This is the Backstage Report podcast. Let's go ahead and get into it. We have a whole lot of stuff this week. This ended up being a really busy week as far as news goes. A lot of little things that supplement a lot of the big things. Let's jump right into one of our biggest stories, the relationship between WWE and the USA Network. I had a ton of information on that relationship last week. With the draft looming and talent not clued in too much, WWE sources did confirm to Fightful weeks ago that they were working with both Fox and USA Network directly to make sure all parties were satisfied with how the draft ended up and where the stars landed. Now, there has been much made of what networks get which stars, and a WWE source compared the situation to the NFL balancing all their broadcast partners. The specific comparison drawn from people in WWE to me was that every network would like Tom Brady, but they don't get him every week. As far as the USA side of that WWE deal goes, contacts at USA did express some counter concerns, so to speak, to some at Fox, being under the impression that their platform was used to heavily promote Peacock. A source we spoke to at the USA Network said that the Hell in a Cell matches both aired on Fox and USA Network surrounding the pay-per-view that WWE put on, so that might have taken a little bit of business away from Peacock and could be looked at some posturing as posturing between those two networks. But USA said that WWE is always trying their best to work with both sides, and when they wanted a Hell in a Cell match, they got a Hell in a Cell match after all that. We worked with Andrew Zarian of Matt Men on this, who has some really good USA Network sources. And NXT was a point that I spoke with to USA sources a lot about. They responded favorably to NXT 2.0 and a lot of the changes that were put forward. And another person that works at the USA Network pointed to the massive jump in viewership for NXT 2.0, as well as the leap in production values being something that made the circles they were a part of very happy. Other positives mentioned by the USA Network reps, sources, this wasn't an official source in an official capacity, but they referenced the NXT 2.0 opening segment and match that featured Bron Breakker, the show closing wedding, Diamond Mine, the NXT title match. The idea that USA Network does not keep tabs on what is going on in these products was absolutely voided. There were people in USA that I spoke to that said, yeah, we even like Tommaso Ciampa as the champion. We're familiar with him. We know that he's a mainstay there. We know he's a guy that people are familiar with. So if you're one of those people that thinks that money changes hands and then like USA Network or Fox just don't care what's on the show, that couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, when NFL and MLB run their games, you can't creatively influence how the game's going to happen, but you can creatively influence the broadcasters and the halftime shows and halftime products and just in between downs and a lot of stuff like that. And USA Network and Fox do care about that a lot. USA Network sources that we spoke to said they were elated about the direction of NXT 2.0. I asked if there was concern over sponsor pushback about the edgier content. And they said, no, a lot of our programs have the same elements that wrestling do, so it should be more accepted within sports entertainment. We're okay with language and more edgy content and more violent content because that's the standard across the board in high-level entertainment these days. So I was very happy to see that. I mean, I think that everybody wants a smarter show that reflects reality a little bit more. There are some that want to use it as an escape, though. In regards to the WWE relationship, the sources we spoke to connected to the USA Network brought up the fact that the relationship extends since well before many of the employees there were even born, since both of them became powerhouses, since USA became a powerhouse on cable, and since WWE became a powerhouse in the global wrestling world. However, there were points of contention. There were sources at USA that told me they were tired of scapegoats and shortcuts, which I was happy to hear because it's a point we've made on our show a lot of times, and they actually referenced several of those things. Having like multiple drafts in 1 year, bringing up stars without having any creative direction for them, the brand-to-brand invitational, the wild card, Raw Underground, turning the lights out on Raw. These were all things specifically mentioned to me by people who worked at the USA Network as you could just book a better show. They're aware of the terminology. They're aware of the business. They have people that are dedicated to this and dedicated to this relationship. It is not just like a bunch of rich people with no idea what's going on. Like, these are very smart people at play. But I was very happy that the people that we spoke to weren't just pretending like everything was fine when everything wasn't fine. There were acknowledgments that the viewership has dropped since before the pandemic and since well before that. And it's not necessarily in line with that of just standard cable trends. We've heard of more high-level meetings between WWE officials and NBC Universal. Stephanie McMahon seems to be a really big part of that. She's a huge steward of the connection between the two sides. NBC Universal chairman Mark Lazarus personally invited Stephanie McMahon to join him for a one-on-one discussion with the Paley Center for Media, which was at the NBC Sports Studios. And then NBC Universal chairman of Global Advertising and Partnerships, Linda Yaccarino, already discussed WrestleMania plans for both Dallas and LA while they dined together in Manhattan recently. So this is a thing. Like, this is a constant piece of conversation. I know there are a lot of people that will be like, well, that stuff's not that interesting to me. It's interesting to some people. If it's interesting to me, I assume some of you will like it. We're going to keep asking how things work, what people know, how they keep furthering relationships and all that stuff, in addition to the skizoops that we bring you guys. Unfortunate scoop, Rey Mysterio is out of action. He was sidelined this past weekend for an undisclosed medical reason and was not able to perform Saturday night. He was replaced in his match against Roman Reigns. It ended up being the Bloodline against Balor, Mysterio, and Cesaro. He was drafted to Raw, and he was briefly at SmackDown, and then we're told that he left. More WWE news, the draft. It's night number two tonight. And I love the draft. I'm just such a sucker for it. It's always a piece of optimism for me. But until pretty late, a lot of the roster didn't know where they were going to go. As of Wednesday of last week, people on Friday did not know where they were going. As of Thursday afternoon, however, some of the talent asked about the draft format and were not told. We were able to talk to names on Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, and as the middle of the week, none of them had any idea where they were supposed to go in the draft. One top name said that they expected it would be how it usually was, with them not knowing, and we learned that those stuck in NXT limbo weren't even told if they'd be drafted. So that's pretty wild. Now, last year, things were a little different. There was one talent that was able to, I don't know if they found a format sheet or what they found out about, but they found out the draft moves and let a bunch of the talent know ahead of time. But management was not going to. Somebody got the scoop on it. By the way, I saw the tweet that Wrestling Inc.'s Raj Geary posted last week about an interesting name no longer under WWE contract. So I've confirmed that name was in reference to Shane McMahon, and I had heard that rumor about maybe, 3 weeks ago, and I inquired within WWE. Now, I confirmed he's not been around the offices, like, almost at all of late, like, since around WrestleMania. However, WWE sources did indicate to me that he was still a WWE talent under a deal. So, but he's not in the standard position that he was in, so I can understand how that would emerge, so to speak. Lots of Free the Narrative news. We talked to EC3 ahead of Free the Narrative, and he said that some of the content was filmed in late August, and he was actually talking to Adam Scher, the former Braun Strowman, the day before his WWE release about working on the production, and that Scher didn't see the release coming, but the relationship had been rocky and tumultuous, but was very excited to film Free the Narrative too. Now, his 90 days is up, is Adam Scher's. He's free to sign wherever he wants, but Fightful has learned there's been pretty heavy talks between Impact Wrestling and Adam Scher. There had been talks between Scher and AEW, but Impact Wrestling is making a big play for him, and they think they're going to land him, at least based on those that I spoke with. And it's not a secret to talent internally. We were told that they have made big plays for both he and attempted to get Bray Wyatt as well. His non-compete is still going on, is Bray Wyatt's. He was released over 2 months ago. But there was a report this week that Brian Alvarez had said that Bray Wyatt was expected to join Impact Wrestling. That is not what Alvarez said. I need to specify that. Alvarez did not say that, so it's not fair to just blame him. He said that it's his impression. And people can have impressions without saying this is where they're going. A source close to Wyatt said that no Impact Wrestling deal is in place or even close. But we did confirm that Impact has interest in Wyatt, and they've asked a member of their roster to reach out to him in an effort to recruit him. There is no solid indication right now as to where Wyatt is going. And if anybody says different, as of this past weekend, that's just not the case. There's no real indication of that. Boy, I mentioned the Free the Narrative scoops, and I went around to Braun and Bray Wyatt, but Impact thinks they're getting Braun Strowman, and I haven't heard that they think they're getting Bray Wyatt. I haven't heard that at all. But Free the Narrative, last time they had Impact wrestlers and ROH wrestlers, AEW wrestlers. This time only Matt Taven and EC3 from ROH who are under contract were promoted, and EC3 told me that it took like 45 minutes to get them to nail that Taven deal down. It was very, very easy. But Marina Shafir appeared on it as well. She has not had a major appearance since leaving WWE. She's booked for a few things, including Bloodsport, but she's only competed in one match over the last year. I think that she's going to impress a lot of people. I really do. Percy Watson was also on Free the Narrative, but that actually wasn't the bit of info that I had on him on Fightful Select last week. Percy Watson left a very secure NXT commentary job in May 2019 to pursue ventures outside of wrestling, and we had reported at the time that that was acting. That's what he was doing, and he left that of his own volition. And he's appeared on Free the Narrative a couple times, but he was actually in a movie that went completely under the radar that EC3 brought up to us. He said that Percy spent time in Cleveland, actually stayed at his parents' house for a while, because he was working on the set of the Tom Holland movie, Cherry. And I know, like, people from Cleveland, and they said, yeah, like, everybody worked on that movie. It's been nominated for a Golden Reel and ASC Award, and it's available on Apple Plus now. So lots of neat things emerging out of that. Very excited. I was slammed this weekend, but I can't wait to watch Free the Narrative. That first one was so different. It's worth you guys checking out if you have the time. It's different, and different isn't bad. I'll say that much. Lots of other notes. AEW notes. How about this? There was a major title change that took place on Wednesday, September 30th. Now, I want to take this time to apologize to people, especially on the West Coast, or that were spoiled by our title. I'm very sorry about that. I had not even considered that. I have the privilege of living on the East Coast, and I want to send a heartfelt apology to those people that I did spoil as a result of that. That wasn't the intent, and I will do better about that. I want to make this as fan-friendly as possible and as non-toxic as possible. And when we get a reception like that, it shows me I did something wrong there, and I'll make sure to protect those headlines and titles a little bit more. So apologies again for that. I'm very sorry. Didn't want to ruin anybody's viewing experience or anything like that, because that's what we're all here for, to enjoy wrestling and learn more about it. So, again, I'm very sorry. But as far as the scoop, a couple hours ahead of the show, people backstage knew that the TNT title was changing hands. However, I was told that plans were put in place around All Out, and at one point, the title was going to change hands on the Arthur Ashe show on September 22nd. Before being moved to last week. Not only that, I was told that Sammy and Miro being put on the Rampage show at Arthur Ashe was a bit of a last-minute decision and had to be pushed for as well. So, glad that that happened. There's a lot of possibilities with Miro and Sammy moving forward, but glad they got on that show. Well, Adam Cole isn't on a WWE show, but we're still finding out stuff about his WWE run. And I'm still finding out stuff about Daniel Bryan's WWE run as well that I'll post pretty soon on Fightful Select. Adam Cole. Now, Ringside News and Wrestling Observer had spoke about pitches regarding him being a manager. But he confirmed, and Fightful had reported, that those never made it to him. It doesn't mean they didn't happen, they just never made it to him. But I heard of one that did. And I've since learned that he talked about this a bit on Talk is Jericho. But they asked him very early on if he'd cut his hair, and from what my WWE sources tell me, he was like, no, I'm not interested in that. That ain't going to happen. And they never brought it up again. So that should show you how the pitch process is like there. A lot of stuff gets thrown at the wall. WWE is still very transparent in, or they praised him, rather, for being transparent in what he did and didn't like and how he was to deal with upon his WWE exit. So that's good to hear. It was good to hear from Alex Shelley. I dropped an interview with him last week. I feel like I could talk to him about, for a long time. When I get these, 20-minute interviews with people I've watched for 15 years, I try to cram some stuff in there so I can touch on a lot of topics. But he told us that the MLW Opera Cup stuff, they had spoken, he and MLW, a couple years ago. And it just wasn't the right time to come in. And now it was. He was a fan of MLW way back in the early 2000s. But he said that the Impact Wrestling stuff, he doesn't work there anymore. He's open to going back. He loves working with Scott D'Amore, but they have a large roster, and he's only got so many hours in the day. But he would be happy to do some work with them, and was very happy to come back. He put over the North, Ethan Page and Josh Alexander, an awful lot. He also put over WWE and how they are to do business with, and how they treat their talent in NXT, so that they treat them like professionals, which is awesome to hear. Oh, lots of injury updates. So it's worth noting, as things stand, Bayley, Asuka, Elias, Reckoning, Titus O'Neil, Lacey Evans are all on our inactive lists for various reasons. Inactivity, injury, none of them were drafted on Friday. We'll see how that goes on tonight as I've film this on a Monday afternoon. But Riddick Moss has returned as Madcap Moss. He had been dealing with an ACL injury. Sasha Banks returned after not being cleared. Kushida recently returned after not being cleared as well. Brandi Rhodes is back in action after maternity leave. But we have some contract information as well. Of course, Fuego del Sol signed his contract. Can't remember if I mentioned it on this show. PCO had revealed his deal is up December 1st, 2021. But a big piece of news, W. Morrissey, clarified that his deal is up at the end of October and that he wants to sign a long-term deal with Impact Wrestling, which is good to hear. We're going to have more updates on contracts in the coming weeks, the coming months, from all kinds of companies, MLW, Impact Wrestling, WWE, AEW. So keep it locked. I appreciate you guys so much. This was a wild week for me, so I appreciate you guys. Spread the word. I can't tell you how important that is. At the beginning of each month, you'll see our select subscriber count just fall off a cliff. It went from 4,450 to 3,800. That's because when people sign up, they'll immediately cancel because that's just the way that Patreon does things, but they keep that number until the end of the month. So we're trying to build that back up, and your word of mouth helps us more than anything. Telling people that you like what we're doing is a lot different than me saying, hey, here's all the stuff on Fightful Select. So I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you. We're out.